First, as I begin, I want to thank you for having me here. It's one of those things that, believe it or not, is a very, very incredible privilege to be here. It's not always true that you get to do something like this, to be in a relationship with people so easily, to be invited into their home, their spiritual home, and connect. So I'm grateful for that. In many ways, that being in religious community, inviting someone in to hear their message, is more or less similar to the creatures clinging to the rock. We know often what we like, what we're used to, and we wonder what it's like to open ourselves up to someone new. There are many times in my own worship life, whether it's now in a congregation or way throughout history in my past, that I've connected to that image of trying to cling to a rock and let go. One Wednesday afternoon in late July, a number of years ago at this point, I went to worship in a quiet 1970s-style chapel in the middle of a large southern university. You would be right in assuming when I talk about the South, it was in the Bible Belt. There was a very particular sense of this congregation and this worship community, and it was imbued with such grace. That was a place for everyone to go, regardless of what religion you were, and it was shown its light like a beacon on the campus. This particular day, this particular worship service, was titled, sort of like we do now, Let Go and Let God. Have you heard that phrase before, let go and let God? Sitting there, my thoughts swirled about how I had spent my whole life like the creatures beneath the river, clinging to my own rock of fear of the current. And yet that summer was a wave of voices and a gentle water rushing over me, calling me downstream, calling me to risk being tumbled and smashed against the rocks around me, but calling me to live free. And so it was on that afternoon in worship. The worship service unfolded naturally at first. A prayer, a song, a reading, a song, you know, we're used to this. But something that was new for me there at the end, there was a dance. Before this particular summer, I had not participated in a worship with an order of service. I didn't grow up in a tradition like Unitarian Universalism or some of the other mainline Protestant traditions or Catholicism. The church I grew up in, preacher would just decide what we were going to do, and my grandmother, who was the church pianist, would say, what are we playing today? Go over there and play it. So having an order of service this summer, that was a big step for me religiously. I'm sure you all have made big steps with different things in religion and community. Not just that, but we did all sorts of new things in worship. There was a rap worship. There was a rave worship. We got some of that glow-in-the-dark paint, and we put crosses some places, and it was an interfaith community, so we put some stars up and some other symbols as well from different world religions. In fact, before that summer, I had never heard a woman's voice from the pulpit preaching the message of her God. I'd grown up in a tradition so clearly determined to keep men in power that women really couldn't preach, maybe teach, but only if the guys didn't want to. So you can be doubly sure that I had never seen a woman, a young woman, dancing in church to a song by gospel artist Kirk Franklin. This was new to me. I knew the music, Kirk Franklin, but she did a liturgical dance. This was something that she had actually brought with her. It was her background. And the song was slow, and the words were deep. And they reached into my soul like water into my lungs, kind of on that first big dive into a pool when you're not so sure you're going to get back up with your head over water. I don't know what it was about that particular Wednesday afternoon at 4. The sun was out. It was a warm day in Atlanta, but something happened. Kristen, the dancer, used scarves, and she moved gracefully, and somewhere after the first 60 seconds of what seemed to be an eternity, I simply got lost in my own stuff. The song called on the listener to envision a world where the emotional wounds were healed, where the past was not a hindrance, but rather a fuel for growth. And I found myself sitting in the pew, thinking, and then suddenly eyes glistening. A tear would stream down. Before I knew it, I was crying pretty consistently. I had a mentor to my left who put her arm around me, and a close friend to my right who squeezed my hand. And that was a helpful, compassionate moment. Those opportunities to touch in moments of tenderness can be what brings us together and pulls us through. After a few seconds, I excuse myself. I'm not one to want my emotions to be too public. And so I skidded off outside the room, heard the door shut, and went downstairs and sat outside for a while. Here I listened to a song telling me that I was good enough as I was, just as I was. After spending a short lifetime clinging to a cold, hard pebble, scared of the reality beyond what I knew, denying myself the truth of my experience, I released my grip and I let the current flow through me and around me. Like the creature in the story, naturally I tumbled. I smashed into the occasional boulder, and I ran into the sharp edges sporadically. When I pulled myself up, I had some bruises and some wounds, but I had scars that showed I could heal. Over and over again, after that moment, I would close my eyes, relinquish control, and find myself being carried on a voyage I could never fully comprehend, and to feel some peace with that. Surrendering control, as we all know, doesn't come easily. I fought it every day for years, and I still fight it sometimes when fear of the unknown path before me looms too large. I think if I can just control one thing, I'll feel a little bit safer. So it doesn't really matter what the one thing is. I just want to understand that I am not held to the winds of the universe. Perhaps you've had some of those experiences. As children and as adults, we are often aware of the paradox of wanting control, needing control, and also getting that actually that's not totally within our reach. For me, at least, growing up, going to church was one of the few saving graces, one of the few sanctuaries, if you will. Here was a religious community coming together, much like we do, with its hopes and our fears, joys and sorrows, all of us suffering in some form and all looking to find and offer deliverance to others. I heard the people around me in worship and in class and social events and meetings talk about their transformation from angry and hurt sinner ever looking to benefit themselves by becoming a loving and giving Christian. Further, when these people suffered, they spoke of release, of letting go of the anger and pain and hurt, and they found that for them, letting go meant letting God do whatever that was. Giving your life over to God also means giving your problems over there because you assume that God knows what's coming your way, and there's no battle that God wouldn't be able to handle. My own experience, I think may be true for some of us who have found our way to Unitarian Universalism, is that's not the God we know. Whatever God is, whatever sense of sacred and holy and divine exists beyond us, it isn't necessarily one who will deliver us from our problems, one who knows the whole path. In many ways, we see the sacred as something we co-create, humans among us doing something bigger than ourselves. And so that summer, when I wept, when I cried in that worship, there were ways that I decided to let go of the rock of this particular church, even though it had supported me for so much of my childhood. I knew that I had to let go to see what else was in the world, that I might connect with people who would affirm and agree with me in different ways. It's important for us to do that in so many ways. That's a sense of love that we can find and of what it means to go beyond our truth and our normal, useful community. How many of you have gone to religious community and found in it love? Not just a partnership, but love. This way of growing with one another. Growing internally, looking beyond just however we have been, because authenticity is important, but also looking to be transformed, because that's an important element too. When we can let go of the rock, not sure of what we're about to find, we will be taken on a journey with one another. But it's so nice. Isn't it so nice to see other creatures going with us? To know that we weren't just foolish in letting go of the rock, that maybe we know something in taking the risk. You might think that if letting go of that religion was a way of me moving on, why would I end up back as a minister in a faith community? For me, letting go of the rock wasn't quite giving up on religion. It is for some of us, but not for me. In many ways, I needed that great community and beloved community that I just spoke of. I thought that if we worked together, we could make the world a better place. And I came to learn that for all the control I wish I possessed, I learned that I had some power, and that we all do as people in this world, even if it is fairly limited. I learned that there is change. Change will come regardless, and so we have, at our essence, two basic choices. We can resist the stream, knowing that it will always flow, and that it is hard, far too hard, to hold on to the rock in face of all the changes. Or we can stop fighting it, relaxing our posture and our hearts, and living and moving with the current. Ready to make changes whenever we land somewhere, ready to get up and change our life for the good, but not having to work so hard at clinging. This is an important moment in my creature's understanding, to know that we have some power and to move with it, to do something with it. Reinhold Niebuhr, a great theologian, offers that church and religion are a fantastic place to do some of this work, because we will never complete it ourselves. With a sorrow piece about Paris, it reminded me that we will not be able to solve the world's problems in our lifetime. So we must have faith that eventually that will happen. We know that we can't see all of the world around us, and so we work with others in relationship, and that's love and trust, and it's through those that we create hope. Niebuhr goes on to point out that church and religion aren't an end unto themselves. It's a process of creating a world in which all of us, faced with incredible difficulty, can triumph in a world determined to break our back. Niebuhr wonders that despite the weaknesses and failings of the church, where else can you help the imperiled family? Awaken a complacent society and direct the thoughts and hopes of those who would wish to mitigate the cruelty and horrific violence around us. In all truthfulness, religion is both a place of refuge from the pain people suffer and sometimes a perpetrator of many of those same injustices and cruelties. When we get too locked into our path, knowing that we have the truth, we can hurt others. Looking back at my own church experience, not once in the years that I went to that church as a child did I hear the minister preach actually about violence, whether it was violence in the home or violence in the community or violence in the world, which hits us all. Not once did that church, or frankly many others, recognize the religious call to rectify the sin of slavery or its subsequent oppression. Churches across the land continue to advocate hatred and fear towards much of humanity. Maybe because people are too poor or too rich, because people are gay or bisexual or transgendered or disabled. Churches across the land continue to make mistake after mistake. In fact, they make so many mistakes, you would think humans ran them, guiding them, allowing them to reflect our own faults and flaws. But for those faults and flaws, for all the scandals and sins of the institutional church, we still cast our eyes to communities because we know we cannot do it alone. Our unending role as creatures who have given over to the current and continued our journey downstream is to let others know it's possible. By showing up on Sunday morning, by showing up throughout the week, by leading and teaching and doing and being in community, we let others know that it's not easy. Life is never about easy. It can be scary and painful, but it's never boring if you let go of the rock. Our role as liberal religionists who say that revelation is not sealed, our role is to say that we can make a way for the world to be better for all of its people. We should go and tell the communities downstream, it is okay, you can do this too. Even if you're imperfect, we belong to an imperfect church, an imperfect society, and an imperfect civilization. So what shall we make of this? Some of us are called to care for the wounds of those smashed against the rocks, to hold their hands, put their arms around the person, and be with them. Others are called each and every opportunity they get to remind us that this planet needs justice and we are the ones to make it so. Whether that is with some help from something divine or from the future, we must play a part. Some are called to work daily in community and others occasionally. Many of us are just beginning and are eager to do work, and others are tired, having served the church through decades of work. For hours upon hours each week. Wherever you fall on that continuum, whatever your calling, look closely. First at yourself and where you are in the river of life. Are you holding onto a rock? Is it something you can let go of? It may take time. It may take others going past you to say, "We," as they go down the river current. Or their sounds of fear may frighten you. But we know that by being together, we can do this. We will get there together. We will be tumbled and smashed. There are times we will feel shame and pain, but it's okay because of love. Life at its best invites us all to listen and hear and to say yes. May we listen to that still small voice that tells us we are good enough just as we are. May we hear the plea of the world to create justice in a hard and broken place. And may we say yes to all of life with a heart full of gratitude and hope, even when the rocks are sharp and cold and unending. Amen and blessed be.